Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Here's the headline, Brandon. You're going to love it. The myth of learning styles, a popular theory that some people learn better visually or orally, keeps getting debunked. Yes, I said orally, Brandon. This comes from the great Olga Kazan in The Atlantic.
Yeah, Olga Kazan is a legit journalist. She is, I think she's
as opposed to the other ones.
Well, no, I actually think that her parents were from maybe Russia. So she's raised in America, but she
sounds Russian.
It does sound Russian for sure or something. But I read a bunch of her stuff. She's really interesting. And I love The Atlantic. I think The Atlantic is a pretty solid journal. I'm going to give full disclosure on this. I chose this piece. You were like,
what are
we doing on this?
Exactly.
I think this is an incredibly important article and an important thing to discuss.
I do too.
By the way, she would be about a 7 on the WAGA. That's my take.
You know what this is, though? What we're doing today is like going to Reno, Nevada and playing craps, but doting the roller. So what happens at craps is you're all betting that you don't want craps, a 7 to come. But if you do bet the craps, you're betting that a 7 comes and everybody at the table hates you.
Right.
We're reading an article about how they're debunking something that we all thought, and I'm confused by it.
Okay. Well, so let's start by the reason why I found this so interesting was I've been fascinated lately by confirmation bias. So confirmation bias is the idea that if you believe something so strongly that even in the face of absolute proof, you're like, no, that's not true. You're like, that's not true. A great example of that is I went with my some friends. We went to go see this Christmas display. And we parked our car, and they have a big pickup truck. And the mom, raised in the country, was like, let's have all the kids ride in the back of the truck. I'm like, that's cool. It's just up a road. No big deal. I grew up in a place where you could ride in the back of the truck.
You do that in the South.
Right. But is it legal to do that, do you think, with little kids in the back of a pickup truck?
Of course not.
Of course not. No. And no one would think that, including her husband, who was like, whatever. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, oh, it's totally okay. You could do this if you're blah, blah, blah. Now, this was a paved road into an arboretum, so it wasn't a real heavily trafficked highway, but it was definitely a thing. And I was looking at her and go, are you sure? It's like, yeah. Now, I'm not from North Carolina. She is. I'm like, hey, maybe these Southerners have a way about them. You could throw all sorts of kids in the back of a truck, whatever. We drive to the top of the road, and a sheriff is standing there passing people through for this big Christmas thing. And she looks at us. She goes, you know you can't do that, right? With her Southern accent. She's like, y'all can't have those kids in the back of that truck. And we're like, and her husband, who's a great guy, was like, yeah, we thought so, but my wife was insistent that it was totally legal. She's like, well, it's not so. Basically, she let us get away with it, but she confirmed that, in fact, it was against the law to do that. When we said this to this woman, she's like, well, that's not true. She says, I'll call my mom. So she calls her mom, this Southern woman, and she said, Mom, can you ride in the back of a truck? Her mom's like, totally can ride in the back of a truck. It's like a sheriff told us you can't ride, but they believe it. That's the same thing with this article. I know I'm landing the plane now, so bear with me.
Okay.
This article is forever. Beep, I was a teacher. Beep. For 20 years and 25 years. And I'm telling you, back in the 90s, this whole process of that we all have different learning styles was introduced. There was this whole conference called Learning the Brain. There were 9 different learning styles and blah, 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 and how we learn. And what this is, the newest research on this. Now, by the way, every teacher and every school bought into this. It wasn't just like a few people. This became canon. Everyone believed in this, that everyone has, you have an auditory learning style, a kinesthetic. Now, I believe that people are more comfortable in these styles, and I bought into it by. I taught this to the kids. Hey, know your learning style, you'll be better at it. Well, what this article is saying is all the research saying that is not true. We all learn the same way. The reason I wanted to talk about this is like, what other things are we hanging on to that are just not true, but we hold on to them as canon, as rote, as the law, even though it's totally not true?
I'm still a little confused what you want out of me, but go on.
Well, do you know, have you ever heard of this idea of having a learning style? Okay. So even the average dope like yourself, who's never taught a thing and couldn't teach, right, can barely do arithmetic, basic arithmetic. I mean, admit it, you're kind of a dope. So, but how do you know about this? How do you know about this theory of different learning styles?
Well, because it makes sense. It makes sense that we're all made different.
That's my point. It's not true. That's my point. Yes, it makes sense. And that's why it was so bought into, because like, well, yeah, I learn better when I listen, or I learn better when I see. I'm a visual learner. Their point was actually getting stuff into our brain all happens the same way. It is not, whether it's auditory or it's visual, that it's actually different than what it's been proposed as.
Well, I read a book called Love Languages, a Christian book, and that we all have different types of love languages, Brandon. So you tell me that's debunked as well?
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. But well, this isn't about love languages. But I just thought it was really, really crazy. It says, either way, by the time we get students at college, said Indiana University professor Polly Hussman, they've already been told you're a visual learner, or you're oral, or what have you, you're kinesthetic. So we've indoctrinated students into thinking they can only learn a certain way, when that's absolutely not true. And goes on to say, the thing is, they're not, or at least a lot of evidence suggests that people aren't really one certain type of learner or another. In a study published in 2018 in the Journal of Anatomical Science Education, Hussman and her colleagues had hundreds of students take the VAC questionnaire to determine what kind of learner they supposedly were. The survey then gave them some study strategies that seemed like they would correlate with that learning style. Hussman found that not only did students not study in ways that seemed to reflect their learning style, those who did tailor their study to suit their style didn't do any better on the test. Do you get that? Does that make sense to you?
Confirmation bias. If you tell someone they learn one way, they might eventually think that that's how they're supposed to learn and
okay.
Perform so placebo-ish.
So I think that this is what why this struck me is, number one, for 20 years I taught this, so bad on me. But there
shame
are
on you.
Well, I mean, but everyone was doing it, and now I'm looking
okay,
at
everybody's
it.
Doing
my question
it.
Is this. My question is this. In the face of proof, for instance, maybe you just watch a certain news program and it tells you that an election was stolen and was fraudulent.
Okay.
But there's overwhelming evidence to say
we're going here. All right.
That it wasn't true. Why do you hang on to it when you've got overwhelming evidence to say something is not true? Why do we do that?
Well, of course, confirmation bias. You're with your tribe.
Right. But is it possible that people do that because they don't want to believe something? Like we've bought into. So you're saying that's it. No more discussion. That's the deal. There's no point to even talking about this.
No. I mean, I just don't know what you can really do about it. You know, for a 75-year-old people who sit and watch Fox News all day, they're never going to change.
I guess that why this strikes me so, so completely is that are we ever to a point in our life, you say 75-year-old people, they're not going to change. I would like to think that we can be different than that. I would like to think that people can be challenged to think differently at any age, young and old. So how do we do that? This whole show is about getting people to think differently, Larry. How do we do that?
Well, I mean, I don't know that. All I know is that the brain is not all that we think it is, right? This happens all the time in criminal cases. They have a person who has a personal view of what happened. Someone got shot.
Right.
And they go to the third person who witnessed the whole thing. How many times has that person ID'd the wrong person that shot the person they were just across the street?
Yeah, lots of times.
All the time. All the time. We kill people because there was a first eye view of what happened and he got it wrong.
Right.
Our brain all the time. Our memories of our childhood, completely wrong. Completely wrong.
Right. Have you ever had that conversation with your older brother about things that happened you thought were, and he's like, no, that's not what happened at all?
Exactly. It happens all the time. So, first of all, we don't know the past. Now we can't ID the shooter across the street. Guess what else we can't do? The future. We're really bad at predicting what we think will make us happy or sad. So if you go into the auspice that our brain is constantly wrong, then you got no bias. I have no idea what's going to help, hurt, help me learn, not help me learn.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you off on that one, Lawrence. That's a little too trite.
My point
to
is saying I'm open-minded to, you know what?
It could be.
I tried it. I'm open to anything because I don't, my brain, Larry Olson's
brain.
So
when do we have proof that something actually works? When do we get that to where we say, yeah, no, that's definitive? Is there such thing as definitive proof?
I mean, that's where we're at here.
So you're saying that potentially the election could have been stolen?
I'm not saying, I mean.
But I've heard you many, many times say, kind of make fun of people that buy into the nonsense of that. But you're saying, according to the way you're saying it, that could be true.
I think you're talking about two different things here.
Okay.
There's been none proof that the election was rigged.
Okay, so there's nothing to give you evidence that something might be. So, but there is.
But
proof
in a murder case,
mind.
In a murder case, if the only piece of evidence you have is the first person view of a person across the street, that we need more evidence.
So going back to this article and talking about learning styles, why this is so important, I think, and why it's important to me personally as a former educator, I guess we're always an educator, is that we tell our kids this stuff all the time, that there's only one way to do things, and then we wake up and go, oh, actually, we were wrong. It happens all the time. It happens with food. It happens with all sorts of things.
Science, it happens all the time.
But what do you say to your kids? And this is a real question. What do you say to your kids about that very issue that, hey, I might be wrong? What is your answer to that?
I think a heavy dose of skepticism is a good thing. You're
so
always
you tell your
asking,
kids to be skeptical about what you say to them.
Absolutely.
Well, what
absolutely.
Do you do? What do you do when your 13-year-old
says,
"Suck it, Dad"?
You have to have a good explanation for why you're doing something. Otherwise, you don't have an explanation. You're just saying, "Stop being quiet." Now, every once in a while, I'll say, "Like, stop being quiet," because I told you so.
I caught myself doing that recently. I was like, oh, I became my dad for just a minute there because I told you so. That's why.
Because I need a minute to think.
Right.
And I probably should have just said, hey, my brain's not working. If you keep blabbering on, give me a second because I told you so to shut up so I could think about what we're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I realize, Larry, this wasn't your bailiwick. This wasn't the absolute place you wanted to go. But I do think it's an interesting thing in context to this show about how we look at things in our entire raison d'etre in this show. The very reason we're doing what we're doing is to force people, or not force people, but to try to influence, cajole, I don't know what word we use, to think about things differently, to have that healthy dose of skepticism. Even the Wagameter that we created, which is a made-up mythical thing, was put into place
it
to
is?
Show that these authors might be biased, that I might be biased, that you might be biased, that in fact, no, not might be, we are biased.
I'm not biased.
Oh, yes,
I let the Holy Spirit lead me to where we need to be, Brandon. And I'd like to thank you for teaching me that I'm perfect.